November 16th, 2015, regular board meeting.
Call the Arizona City Fire District Board meeting to order. Please rise for the pledge of allegiance vote.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody out in the audience tonight for joining us. And take a second here. Sir, could we have you sign in on the podium there so we have an idea of who you would be? Thank you. Fire Chief's report.
Okay, everybody should have a copy of the Fire Chief's report. Number one, we had in the month of August, we had one additional new hire that started working at the district during the month. He was a firefighter paramedic and is currently working at the Eloy Fire District also. Our recruiting campaign continues. We currently have one additional firefighter paramedic in the recruitment process and one firefighter EMT on hold. We have plenty of firefighter EMTs right now, so we just have that person on hold as we speak. Number three, with the additional manpower, we are now currently running a four-man company operations on a day-to-day basis. This is important because 86% of our calls are back-to-back and 33% are back-to-back-to-back. So on the last shift, we had three sets of doubles. So it's important with those two extra members that we're able to respond to another call very, very quickly. And early in August, we actually had quadruples. We had a member of the community in the firehouse for a low blood sugar check. We got called for a heart attack down in Guaymas, and we got called for a one-year-old with 40% full thickness burns over by the golf course on Blanchard, and we had to end up setting up an LZ. So we had four things going at one time. And unfortunately, the one-year-old with full thickness burns over 40% of their body that we were flying out was the third and fourth call. So that's why it's so important that we get these four-person companies to go forward, because we never really know what that call is going to be. And whether it's a welfare check or a lift assist, once we get on scene, we can't release for a more serious call until that call is completed. So that's why a four-man company is so important for us on a day-to-day basis. Tonight is also number four, the monthly fire training. It's on ladder company operations. It's being conducted by Captain Lopez and firefighter J.C. Holiday as we speak. Number five, I met with the state fire marshal last week in Mesa, Arizona. I have confirmation that we are in fact enforcing the 2003 International Fire Codes on both the state and district level. And I've been sworn in as both the fire chief and fire marshal for the state enforcement purposes for the fire code for our districts. So I'll be meeting with the fire marshal again this month. We will be seeing him a lot. He just purchased a home in Arizona City. So the state fire marshal is a resident of our district. So we'll use him to our advantage to go forward with that. He was living in Tucson. His wife works in Tucson. He's now working in the Phoenix office. So he decided Arizona City was about halfway for both of them to drive every day. So he'll be with us probably on a quarterly basis, I would say. He said he was going to try to stop in and see us. He'll be here tomorrow. He was supposed to be here today, and we ended up pushing that. Number six, continue to work on ensuring that all our interagency agreements are completed by the end of the year. Many of our interagency agreements, plans, either lack some submission details, review, and or an update to make sure they're staying current for the many years. So that's important. Number seven, Department of Health Services is changing the CON process at the state level. So the authority having jurisdiction, or the AHJ, has changed from a jury hearing to the president of the medical group is hearing all those arguments now. So in the old days, you can remember when Glendale went for theirs in 2007, Southwest spent about $3 million to keep them from getting it. And it went to a jury hearing, and they were able to buy their way through that process. Now it's all going to be done by the president of the medical group, so it's going to streamline the process from there. Number eight, our CON efforts continue. We continue to build paramedic manpower, as you can see from one and two, to ensure we have enough manpower to meet the agreements for our CON, and we continue to meet with Chief Coy from Eloy, Chief Miller from Casa Grande, and Chief Boucher from Superstition Fire Medical Districts to ensure our continuity of efforts going forward with that as we speak. And there's some more about that, but I'll save it for next month as well. I was able to attend the Arizona Fire School last week, Thursday through Sunday in Mesa. And during those 4 days, they had a conference for fire chiefs in Arizona City. Talked a lot about legislations, financial, and challenges in the market as well. So it's a good 4 days spent at that conference. Number 10, I attended the Central Arizona and the IFSAC and FESCI fire meetings last week. During the meeting, criteria was agreed upon for our support both on a local CAC and Cabot Fire School level for the program. Central Arizona College is struggling right now greatly. Prior to this new agreement, Cabot, which was a vocational industrial training, was able to train firefighter 1 and 2 to only high school seniors up until the point of graduation for either the traditional school or GED. They've since changed that legislation for Cabot, but now they can take students up to 21 years of age. So the problem with that is, as long as you start the program before your 21st birthday, you can finish it at Cabot. So the revenue source for CAC has really been cut tremendously for the fire service program. Those programs at Cabot are about $75 for your firefighter one versus $480 in tuition costs for the junior college or firefighter two. So the college is struggling greatly to try to stay afloat financially. Their goal at the end of the year is to break even. There's some things as chiefs we can do. Per our ISO agreement, we have to do multi-function, multi-company drills. So we're able to utilize a training ground out there and do that. So that's a revenue source for them to support that process. So we agreed as chiefs in Pinal County to do everything we can to continue the continuity of the CAC and Cabot Fire Service programs. Number 11, on September 15th, I attended the Pinal County Fire Chiefs Association meeting at Apache Junction at Superstition Fire Medical Rescue. We discussed state legislature, was discussed in great length for fire operations, and we continue the progress on recalling Prop 117. So we also had a meeting last month on the same topic, and right now we're the Arizona Fire Districts Association has agreed they're going to campaign for a one-stop shop purpose only for the legislation. And what they're going to try to do is improve the 325 cap, which is our mill rate. So currently we can charge the mill rate of $3.25 per assessed $100 value, but that's as high as we can go. And many of the districts are there now. We're financially in a pretty good spot that we have a little bit of cushion to get there, but there's many ways we could go. But AFTA has decided we're just going to focus on that 325 cap. That cap goes back to 1951, and it's never been adjusted. So I think that's a good spot for us to start. But we're not going to negotiate things to try to get that. We're just going to try to get the cap lifted. So Prop 117 is voter-approved legislation. It has to be rescinded by voter-approved legislation. We can't just change it on a district or state statute. So it's important for us to know that Prop 117 did a couple things for us. We went from our full cash value to limited cash value, which for some fire districts, they saw anywhere from a 25% to 70% reduction in financial pool that they drove from. The other thing it says, we couldn't increase by no more than 5% in any fiscal year. Well, really, we had what they was called a triple whammy really hit the fire districts. One, we had the Great Recession of 2008, where the financial markets have gone down. We passed Prop 117, which said we had to go from full cash value to limited cash value. And the thing that was snuck through on the bottom of Prop 117 was these new administrative processes that the controllers are going to use to recalculate our finances. So for example, we can't increase any more financial wealth within our district greater than 5%. But statistically, we're seeing there's no way that can happen. Because if any property within your district is not capitalized by that 5%, you'll never reach that 5%. And we know that's just not possible in our district because of the buildings we have. So on average, I'm calculating we're probably going to be somewhere between 2.5% and 3.25%. That's going to be the best we're going to go after. So once the cyclical real estate market, which truly is what it is in the 18-year cycle, starts to get greater than 3.5%, we're going to continue to do this as we drive forward, because that's as high as we can raise our tax to go through. In the old system, the NAV, the net assessed value, when it came down as a district, any special district would raise taxes to compensate for that. Well, now as we've dropped our net assessed value, and we've gone from the full cash value to limited cash value, we can't raise our taxes to match that. because we're capped at 5, and truly it's going to be about 3.25%. So some districts are already at the point today that financially it's becoming insolvable as they go forward because they cannot provide good business services. The second part on the ambulance revenue side for our CONs, the access continues to cut the cost we're able to charge our patients. We used to be able to charge up to 80% of the value, but now that's been dropped by 12%. So now we're at 68%. It's looking for another drop of 12%, which drops us to 56%. So it's becoming a decision we have to make whether or not we want to continue to drive down to truly go grab that CON process for Arizona City. When you look at community paramedicine and community medical response that's coming out of the Affordable Health Care Act, it may be more advantageous for us to look for another means to transport as a cash source into our district. And I'm still studying that to see what the best process is to move forward. Like I said, Southwest spent about $3 million to keep Glendale from getting their CON. They just told them last week, and they announced at the fire school, that they said, you should go get your CON because we're not gonna fight you. And we're pulling 48 ambulances out of Glendale. So that's under negotiations now, or how they're gonna do it. But I'm always reluctant to go fight for business that people are willingly giving up and getting into another business model. So, you know, I look at it back in the days when there was a Blockbuster on every corner and the line was out the door. Today you can't find a Blockbuster. Let's not go buy the Blockbuster if there's a new technology coming through. So I really want to study what's the right way for us to go with the best financial stability and the best revenue sources we can do as a district. Number 12, some great news. Firefighter EMT Rigoberto Melendez has been accepted at Eloy as a full-time employee. He's been part of the reserve program for years, so he starts there next month. He'll continue to work for us in a part-time capacity. And again, just congratulations to Firefighter Melendez for that. So it's a great move for him. Number 13, we did a community service event, was completed during the month of August with a citizen that was first proposed as a challenging smoke detector that turned into maintenance issues and landscaping issues. This is a gal that just lives down the street. She's 96 years old, came in just in frazzles with the smoke detector that was still going off in a plastic bag. What we found out is that smoke detector was about 25 years old. Asked if we could come put a battery in at her house, and she said, yes, but you'll have to park in the street. No problem, our equipment's big. We never put it in the driveway. What we found out, the reason she had told us we had to park in the street is a Palo Verde had fallen down across her driveway and she couldn't get in her driveway. So I noticed about the top 4 feet was chopped off and there was a handsaw laying there. And I said, well, whose handsaw is that? She goes, well, it's mine, but it took me a week to cut the top off. So I said, no, let us do that for you. We cut the Palo Verde, we saw it knock the cactus in the front yard. We picked that back up, got in the house and saw a ladder there, and she goes, well, you should climb this ladder to check the detectors. I'm like, ma'am, don't do that anymore. That's our job. Let us do that for you. And what we started to find out is, you know, she's on a fixed income. It's a challenging situation for her. She only had one smoke detector in the kitchen area. She didn't have one in the bedroom, so we put one in the bedroom in the hallway for her. Found out that she was climbing up on a roof to adjust her air conditioning unit. We told her, don't do that. Let us do that for her. So we put a hose up there so she could use that. And this is the gal who's hanging her clothes every day because she can't afford electricity for a dryer. And she couldn't afford the landscaping bill to take care of the Palo Verde, and she's parking in the street every day at 96 years old. So, you know, this is the type of community service events we really base ourselves on to be successful. So that's a really good one from there. Number 14 was another community service event. We got a fire alarm San Simeon over here. Found out the resident was P.O. Box 1. So it was one of the first houses that was in Arizona City. It's actually a rebuild. That house burned down. It was one of the first fires that the old crew went on, and they rebuilt it. But I think she had that original smoke detector when she had P.O. Box 1, to be honest with you. So we were able to change that detector for her and put some of those up. But again, very thankful for us and just another community service event. 15, we had another community service event with the ACES school here in town. We conducted the fire drill. Our goal is to participate with the school on a monthly basis. We're going to be there for every single fire drill every month, and we're going to have an accelerated program here in the fall as well. On the top of the second page, number 16, we did another community service event with ACES for Fire Prevention Month that's coming up. We're going to have several assemblies there with all the grades K through 5. We'll be hosting a coloring contest for each group. We're going to give out 3 prizes for each group. I think K, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, up from there. And we're going to be awarded that during assembly. We're going to bring the fire dog over, one of the remote control fire trucks, dress up, and Sparky will talk to the kids as well on fire prevention with a focus on third graders, which is the most traditional group where we find the biggest impact on a national level. Number 17, we'll be conducting a fire drill tomorrow specifically, and we'll have 7 district personnel over there as well. And that'll be our one for September. And again, we're trying to create better fire prevention opportunities for us to get to these kids on the street before we see an emergency situation. Number 18, this Saturday, we're sponsoring a Boys and Girls Club of Casa Grande Valley, Arizona City chapter fundraiser. We're going to do a pancake breakfast and a car wash for them. It'll be from 7-11 this Saturday, and all the proceeds will go directly to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Casa Grande Valley, Arizona City. The district's going to purchase all the supplies, all the food, so everything they make is going to go directly to that group as well. Number 19, we're also sponsoring a Arizona City Elementary School Athletics fundraiser. It's going to be a bake sale and a car wash. It'll be on October 10th from 7 to 11 a.m. And again, all the proceeds for this will go directly to the ACES Athletics program. Again, the district's going to purchase all the supplies to maximize the funding opportunities for the district. What I found as we were doing our first fire prevention activities, I ran into the sports director over there, and she asked if I could give her hand. I said, absolutely. And she was telling me there was 30 kids that signed up for the ACES athletic program. But when it came time to pay the $30, only 10 kids showed up. So they got to the other 20 kids and said, hey, help us out. What's going on? I said, we just can't afford it. So I figured for $600, if we do a car wash and a bake sale, we can provide that $600 to those kids to be successful. So we're going to do that for them, and that'll be on October 10th. They have a gal in town here that's going to provide a bunch of bake sale materials, but if you have cookies or cakes or something you can donate, those sales will go directly to the ACES athletic program. Number 20, our next spaghetti dinner will be the following Saturday, from this Saturday, will be the 26th from 5 to 7. We have new entertainment. Principal Rogers has a band her and her husband play in called Desert Mountain Band. They're going to be playing here. They asked if they could play. And we're going to make some adjustments from the lessons that we learned from the first one. And just as a recap, we earned over $1,600 for the association in the first spaghetti dinner we did. Outstanding opportunity. I heard a lot of good things. We adjusted from the association, from the lessons we learned. We're going to increase some portion sizes and try to get a little cooler so we don't sweat the spaghetti out of folks before they leave. And it's cool and also should help us with that as well. 21 is a big one for us. We have successfully submitted the 501c3 paperwork for the association. This is to be a nonprofit group. It's something the association has been working on for, Betty, for what, 5 years, I bet, or maybe even greater?
I would say 3 years.
3 years? Okay. So we were able to submit that paperwork on behalf of that. The big part of this is, as a 501c3 company, our costs go down tremendously. And more corporations, because of liability, will now donate to us, which they wouldn't without a 501c3. But one example we do is just on the fireworks alone, we pay $8,000 as a nonprofit organization with a 501c3. That $8,000 firework bill now becomes $4,000. So there's a 50% savings, or $4,000 true dollars we'll save. So we can do a couple things, maybe get a little bit more, or just do it for half the price, which allows us to have more money for the fly-in Santas, adoptive Santas, and fire prevention activities as well. Number 22, on September 4th, Captain Lopez and I attended a monthly triad meeting here in Arizona City. It was a large group. Jenny was in the audience there. I think we probably had 20 people or so, something like that. So a couple things came up. We used to have the drug drop-off box in the back. I had a chance last week at fire school to meet with the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency. They're going to petition to see if we can get it back into firehouses. Unfortunately, the division of special agents in charge are a very unique division of the DEA. So I don't know if we'll get it, but we're finding a direct impact. We used to average anywhere between 12 and 18 pounds of pharmaceuticals every month. PCSO is now averaging somewhere between 2 and 6 pounds. So we're finding those bags in front of our house. We're being told they're getting flushed down the toilets when folks come in. They're being left at the PCO office. A couple of the people from the board members went over to the PCSO to do something. And on the front door was a Save-On bag of medication just strapped to the handle. So these are things we don't want in the community. And the youth now know where those are. And we're seeing more visitors here at the firehouse because we're finding them up and down the sidewalks. So, and we pull them in, taking the PCSO whenever we get a chance, but we know we're missing somewhere between 10 and 16 pounds of pharmaceuticals every month. We historically and statistically have proven we are getting in our box here.
Wow.
And we are one of the first boxes to be purchased in the state of Arizona. But it's important for Triad as well from there. 23, the AT&T contract, we did receive a renegotiated contract from AT&T. AT&T's legal counsel uses a third party called Black Dot Wireless to draft the new contracts. When I received it, it was unacceptable and will be returned for further work. What I've approached them for is I'm not going to take a reduction with the unethical behaviors AT&T has showed this district. They were falsifying documents to us on the Cricket merger. They were unfaithful for us on the Nextel merger. I'm not going to reduce what we're going to pay for it. I've asked them if they can't be forthright and honest to give me a price to bring their equipment down. I'm not going to have them on our tower. I just don't think it's fair to the citizens of this town that they can come in and think they can strong arm us at cost already $2,800 a month from that contract. So we'll work with Black Dot Wireless. I hope to have a new contract by next month. It's an annual contract, so there's no loss of money. We'll renegotiate this or get their equipment off the tower. Number 24, we continue to work on the emergency generator project with Airbeam. Currently working with them in the county to see if having that belly tank on that Caterpillar diesel generator is going to make the leaky underground storage tank or the UST standards apply for us. If we do, I think the financial risk will be too great for us to overcome from the need for we may need power in the future. If we are under the UST or the LUST standard, I'm going to pass for the county because I think the financial risk is too high. Sticking with Airbeam, I'm 25. I did receive a call from Greg, and Greg is in the process of having broadband fiber optic satellite service being brought to all his customers here in Arizona City. To do that, he needs to install a 30-foot wide and 24-foot tall satellite dish within 10 feet of our tower to receive the strength of the signal he has. So it's going to be on a 12 by 12 pad. So Greg is preparing a quote for us for purchasing and the use of our land, and then a monthly basis, very similar to what he does for the broadband internet. So many users, 50 cents per user, up to $400 a month, and we get that cap. It's very different, I think, to put a 30-foot wide and 24-foot tall on a 12-foot platform, so it's truly 36 feet tall, dish out back. So I think we should look at that very closely, see what it's going to do, see which side of the wall it's going to go on. I think if it's east of the wall, it will not be accepted well here in our community. So we're going to see if we can do it west of the wall and hide it and see what the height of that is to go up. That one's oncoming as well, but that's a very large dish. It's 30 feet by 24 feet on a 12-foot platform on a 14 by 14. And then finally, this Saturday, number 26, the Pinal County Association of Fire Chiefs golf tournament and scholarship event will be this Saturday. We have a foursome that we've self-funded. I would ask next year that we look at this greatly. Yes, it's a golf tournament, but every dollar goes to scholarship fund for CAC and Cabot to put kids in times through the fire service program. At the fire college this year, out of 752 students, I think 400 and something were on scholarships. So I think it's a great opportunity. Most districts around us are either doing a bronze or a platinum sponsorship for somewhere between $1,000 and $5,000. But I'd like to look at putting that into the budget for.
Great. Thanks, Chief. Board, before anybody has any questions, I need to back up real quick. I neglected to take a roll call of the board, so I'm going to do that right now so that our recording reflects who's here. We have Director Tim McCain, Director Steve Brady, Director Betty Harding, myself, William Bailey, and Jim Leary is absent. So with that, if any of the directors have questions for our chief on his chief's report or comments, now's the time. Anyone? Okay, Chief, I just want to say I think it's an excellent report. You're a very, very busy man. I appreciate the job you've done so far. This is outstanding. The community service projects, as far as I'm concerned, are something that have been lax in the years past, and it's sure nice to see the fire department get out and help those folks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next item, item number five on the agenda, staff reports.
Okay, the first page of the staff report is our infra's report. Again, it's coming from Image Trend. You'll see there on line 25, the total calls for the month of August, between August 1st and August 31st, are 125 calls. Of those 125 calls, if you look up at line 19, we have a total of one fire, which was our garage fire that we had over on the east side of town on Sakate. Line 20 shows we had 96 rescue and emergency medical calls, two false alarms on line 21, and all other for smoke scares, lookout, animal rescues, etc., invalid assist on line 24 was a total of 24 calls in a month for a total of 125 calls. So on the back, on the next page, you will see the breakdown, which is what I give every month specifically on the EMS calls. So of the 125 total incidents, we look at 124, and for 124 of those, we wrote papers or charts for 103. So for example, if we get called out for a person injured and we get turned around, we won't write a report on those. But of the 124, excuse me, we wrote charts for 103. So the response code's up at the top. You'll see that on 63 of the calls, we want no lights and sirens. 38, we want lights and sirens. One was initial lights and siren and downgraded to no lights or sirens. And we had one that was an unknown classification. So that was the total of 103. And you'll see the breakdowns there for total responses as well for the units. In the next page, you'll see this is our mean fractile response times. Again, our average response time for the month was 4 minutes and 15 seconds. You'll see that our 90% fractile response time on the goal we're going after is 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Excuse me, so we're well under that. Our highest response time was 11 minutes and 9 seconds. That was that fourth call. If you remember, we had a diabetic in the station. We had a chest pain on the south side of town by Guaymas. We had the one-year-old burned off of Bleach Street over by the golf course, and then the LZ. So by the time I got back to the LZ, our highest response time was 11 minutes and 9 seconds, but it was actually our fourth call within 7 minutes of each other. So I think that's pretty good for a district of our size. Our lowest response time was 1 minute and 1 second. Again, our average we went for was 4 minutes and 15 seconds, which is well below that average. And you'll see the mean graph down below that we're trying to get that in to respond from there. One thing that I did note is we get a lot of stage calls. So any high-risk call we have, shooting, assault, domestic, weapons on the scene, hostile patients or psychological patients, we will stage 6 to 8 blocks away from that call. But notice we weren't putting our on-scene time until we truly got on scene. Well, we may stay staged for 5 to 15 minutes. So I've modified the reporting structure that once we get to that staging area, that's our on-scene time. And once we truly make patient contact, that's our first patient contact time. So we were skewing our data to not be as good as what we could have been by just being staged. And we have no control of what happened in staging. For example, the very challenging two calls we had last Sunday, we stayed in staging for quite a while. And the first one was a potential murder-suicide, and the other one was a severe. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments from the board? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item number 6. Any correspondence?
We do. From the gal that I was talking about down here on Wendell, she sent a card after we ended up going. She reminded us that we did smoke detector checks. We installed 2 smoke detectors. We fixed the fan. We fixed her clothesline. We fixed her air conditioning unit. We cut down a tree, and we got her into her attic space. But she wrote us the thank you card. I'll pass around as well. So just a thank you note from her.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Very good. Okay, item number 7 on the agenda is our consent agenda. All items under the consent agenda will be approved under one motion unless one of the governing board members pulls an item for further discussion. Do we have any items to be pulled? Okay, hearing none. Can we entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Okay, we have a motion from Betty Harding to approve the consent agenda. May I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second from Tim McCain. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. All right, call to public. Any comments from the public? I don't have any yellow cards in front of me, but if anybody would like to speak at this moment, now's your time. Okay.
Board Chair, Mayor, if I could, the Arizona Independent new reporters here, maybe if you'd like to stand up, introduce yourself. We've lost our longtime reporter, but we've replaced with a very comparable and competent person, and if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Sure, I'm Jay Biancas, reporter with Casper Valley Newspapers for about 2 years now, covering the Eloy area, working for the Enterprise, and a lot of changes are going on. I've lost his last staff members there as well. I'm still here, thankfully, but gone, and so they're going to have me cover Arizona City as much as I can with already my workload. I cover the fire board meetings and then when that comes up. So you'll see me from now on. I came into a meeting a few months ago with Kane, so I've been here before. So.
Great. Yeah. Welcome. Thank you. Would you spell your last name for me?
Sure. Yankus, Y-A-N-K-U-S.
I-A-N-K-U-S. Yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Dave. Okay, item number 9, old business. Discussion and possible action reference board member election / appointment. If you'll look at item tab number 9, you'll see a agenda action item here. As we discussed at the last board meeting, there are 4 out of 5 that will come up for election in November 2016. We need to, as a board, decide how we want to split that between 4-year and 2-year terms. And so tonight I'd like to have us discuss that and see if we can reach a consensus on the best way to do that. A little history. Originally, we started out with 3 4-year terms and 2 2-year terms. And my opinion is that that would be the best format to continue to utilize. Is there any discussion from anybody else on the board? How do you feel about that?
I think it's solid.
Any questions, comments?
It affects you guys more than it does me. I'm here until 2018.
When we had an error, I believe, last meeting in regards to the length of your term.
Oh, it's up next week?
I think yours is 6 years.
Oh, 6 years. You stopped your 6 years, huh?
No. All right. Could I entertain a motion or have someone entertain a motion with regarding the terms?
Where do we all stand right now? I know you and I are through in November.
All four of us, Mr. Leary, Steve Rady, Betty Harding, and Bill Bailey's terms are all up November of 2016.
Well, you and Steve Neon.
Oh, okay.
Well, may I suggest?
No. I think what we're doing tonight is just establishing the fact that we're going to have 3 3-year terms and 2 2-year terms.
4.
Yeah, thank you. But I will take your comment into consideration.
So of those that are left, of the 4, there'll be 2 that are 2-year terms and 2 that are 4-year terms that will be voted on in 2016.
That is correct.
I'll let one of y'all move that because it doesn't affect me, so.
Well, it could.
Not at this point, it doesn't.
It could.
Yeah. I'll make that motion that we would have 3 directors that would have 4-year terms and 2 of the directors have 2-year terms.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor.
Good expirations.
We have a motion on the floor from Steve Brady that director terms will be 3 3-year terms, or 3 4-year terms, correction, and 2 2-year terms. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Betty Harding seconded the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Item number 10, new business. Chief.
I had asked to bring this up. I was caught off guard during the month of August when I received a bill from Boyle Chatra Klein Worthington and Stallings. A couple things. As I am ultimately responsible for financial budget, I get very concerned when a bill shows up for greater than $2,000 for a charge that I'm unaware of. So unfortunately, this involves board chairman, or board member, excuse me, board member Leary, who's not here today. So I'm going to ask that we push this. But the premise behind this is I don't know how many of these are out there that I don't know about. I know I did not know about this one. And it's roughly $2,189.25. I don't know what's hanging in the weeds, but I'm financially liable to that, and I'm making the board aware as fiduciary oversight that there's a process we have to follow within the Arizona revised statute that says if anybody contacts the legal outside legal counsel, they first must inform the chief, and if the chief doesn't, he must first inform the chairman. You know, I've contacted one time and sent an email to the board chairman and CC'd everybody on this board minus new board member McCain. But it's important for me that we have financial stability from this, and this is something I did not know about. It's a recap. I don't even know what it's for, so I'm not going to put it through until I'm able to get the back data from it. I don't know if it's this year, last year, the previous year. All I know is there's a new total as of 9/2 that says we owe the law firm $2,189.25.
Can we ask for a breakdown?
We can. But the person who implemented this charge has to be the one to ask for that. And I'm not sure who that is. I'm making an assumption it's board member Leary because I've contacted you and it seemed like no one knew anything about. So, board chairman, I would ask that we just push this till October's meeting. And I will contact board member Leary off meeting again and see if I can get some additional clarification. I may need your help to be able to do that.
Sure. We'll get that done.
If possible, from my end of it, if I may, on the floor, along with Betty, I'd like to see that.
I would too.
Discovery, what it was, why.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, if somebody's going to pay for it, I don't know what I'm getting from
it. Absolutely. You know, and for me, Steve, it's just that. I mean, for me, it's passing that red face test. I know this was done under the board presidency, which was Mr. Leary at the time, and they're being financially responsible for our budget. I need to know what this is for, and more importantly, what else is coming down the pipeline that I'm unaware of that I need a budget for. Not a lot of money, but the principle doesn't change, that we can't do it under different statutes financially just between $2,200. Because I'm not sure what's coming down the pipeline. I just know I was not contacted. No one on the board knew anything about it. And there's a process to follow. And it appears we didn't follow that process.
We are using the county attorney.
That is correct. I've received nothing but good service from the county. They've met our legal and legislation requirements. We pay for that within our budget. So there's no need to go to outside counsel. Ultimately, we're going to go right back to the county anyway, so why would I use a third-party consultation? I have to use the judicial system of the Pinal County.
Absolutely. Chief, I would just ask also that next month you provide us with the ASR statute number.
Sure.
For that. And just as an informational item for the remainder of the board, under our board bylaws, Article 14, Use of Legal Counsel, reads the chief or the chief designee and the board chair or any member of the board may contact legal counsel for the district as deemed appropriate from time to time. However, any contacts with the legal counsel shall be reported to the board chair or the board collectively on a monthly basis. Okay, so that's just a reminder of what the bylaw states.
Okay.
Very good. And that takes care of new business. Item number 11, next meeting dates. Next meeting will be Wednesday, October 21st, 2015 at 6 p.m. And the Tuesday prior to that, which is
13th.
Our agenda request forms are due. Any questions on that or comments? Okay. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting at 6:41. And for the record, the meeting was called to order at 6:02, I believe. Yeah.
Pardon?
6:01 p.m.
I looked.
Thank you.
You good?
We're good.